First Peter chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with the 6th verse through the 10th. Wonderful verses of Scripture to cover this morning. Please listen very carefully and prayerfully. It's words that will grow the saved and words that will win the lost. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning to read with the 6th verse. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can read your precious word. We continue to look at the stone, the rock, the foundation that we need to build upon, and we need to see that we are sure that we know you as our Savior, that we're a believer, dear Father, and please, all that is offered to the believers and all that is taken away and what we cannot have if we do not know you as our Savior. So please today that all listen carefully and prayerfully. Help us to learn of your way and your will today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we are looking at these verses of Scripture, we spent quite a bit of time last week in talking about the word, this wonderful word, precious. And so, as we look at the 4th verse, you find the word precious. And if you choose to, why, underline that. It says, but chosen of God and precious. It means held in greatest honor. And then we come to the 6th verse, and we look at the 6th verse, and about halfway through that verse of Scripture, we have, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And we look at that word, and that too is the same, held in greatest honor. And then we come to the 7th verse, and that's where we're going to look just a little bit longer. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe. That is the only way, my friend, that Jesus is precious to you. Only if you believe. You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at that word precious there, to the believer, it is accounted as the greatest price. It's accounted to us as something of more value than anything in this world. It's much more precious. It is the greatest wealth that can be gained. It is the greatest of value of everything combined together. Not just having a diamond or a pearl or something of possession, a great home, something that is magnificent to all the world, and yet when we compare all those things, not just single items, but when we compare all those things, they still do not add up to the great wealth and the preciousness of our Lord. And so I hope that you see that. And I hope that you can see those words there when it tells us unto you therefore which believe. Don't think that there's anything that's going to impress you in any way if you're not saved. You must be born again. I want you to know Jesus as your Savior. And I want you to understand how wonderful and how precious our Lord is. And we're going to build on that today. We go back now to the sixth verse just for a minute. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. We have talked about this stone. This stone is a stone that supports the building. It unites the building and it adorns the building. Now, as we look at those things, supports, unites, and adorns the building. What building are we talking about? It's talking about us. We are the temple. And that is what the Lord Jesus can do for you and for me. It will support us. It will keep us together. It brings our mind to being one in Christ Jesus as well as to others. And it also brings on a countenance that adorns. And that's what Jesus does for the believer. And so when you look at a building and you think of a building and how that the chief cornerstone does all these things, if the cornerstone is taken away, and we know that buildings are much different today. The only cornerstone that a building is placed on a new building today is just to store in some things of the day, and then waiting 100 years to open the cornerstone up. The cornerstone of old held the building together. It was of great importance and strength. It supported the whole building. It united it together, and it allowed it to be a place that was, again, adorned. This chief cornerstone remains inseparable from the building. So when we become born again, we become a child of God. Our God, the Holy Spirit, never leaves us. Never. The Holy Spirit comes, God Himself comes to live within our hearts, to support us, to unite us with other believers, to make us to be something of value. Because without the Lord Jesus, we are of no value. And so when we have the Lord Jesus as our Savior, then and only then are we a person of value. As we look at these verses of Scripture, I hope that as we go through little bit upon little bit, that you see that how precious and how wonderful Jesus is. Because I believe if you understand how wonderful He is, if you understand how precious He is, if you'll understand what He has done for you and for me in taking our sin away and giving us life, if you see that, then you'll desire with all your heart to please Him and to serve Him. The last part of this sixth verse says, He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. We can back that statement up, reverse that statement. Believe not, and you will be. To be confounded is to be confused. As a lost person without the Lord Jesus, your highest hope consists of ever dying. That's your highest hope. You are continuing to die till death comes. That's all you have. That's all a lost person possesses in this life. You know some folks that do not know the Lord Jesus, and they seem to be hateful and most miserable? Of course they are. They do not know Jesus. And if they don't know Jesus, they have no hope. Not knowing Jesus, not serving Jesus, is inviting a life of disappointment. You will have a continual life of disappointment. You will be disappointed every day of your life. Whatever you gain and possess, it will never, ever be enough. You'll always want something more. You just finish a project that you've been working on, or your goal is to build this beautiful home, or to buy this car, or to buy this, or to buy that. And it's a desire of your heart, and you have saved all the money. You have finally accomplished a way to get what's going to make you happy. And very soon, not months, not years, but days, you will be looking at changing what you have just gained. You're going to change the house, this perfect house that you've just built. It's not going to please you. It is a disappointment to you because you knew once you gained that, a job can be that way. Anything in this life can be that way. Once you get it, then I'm done. Boy, I'll be happy. I don't care if I ever get another thing. I promise you, as a lost person, and sad to say, many times as believers, we get involved in this part of the world. We do not set our eyes and our heart upon Lord Jesus. Many things in this world are a joy. We enjoy having them. But don't let them control you, because we can have the same answer as a lost person, and that is disappointment, constant disappointment. And so that's what comes. No matter how successful you are in the world, you always feel like you have failed. You will always feel like there's something else there for you. Why do you think people live all of their life just to retire? Because that retirement will be just the perfect thing for me. Only to find that when they retire, it's not. Dad always had a statement that he watched a cousin of his up the road retire, and Dad said he'd never retire because he works too hard. He spends more time working on nothing than Dad did working on something. But Dad did the same as everybody. He retired. And he did the same thing. He worked harder playing than he ever did working. We need to recognize what we have in the Lord Jesus. We have a God that pleases us. We have a God that takes confusion away, but only if we look to Him. Only if we look to Him. I don't want you to live a life of always being disappointed. I don't want that as a Christian, most of all, because we have so much in Jesus Christ. So please, don't live a life of being disappointed. If you are, you're not setting your heart and your eyes upon Jesus. What you're doing is going along with the world. You're living a life like the world, a constant daily disappointment. You'll never be able to make a wise decision as a lost person. Decisions you make will not be good decisions because you don't know tomorrow. Believers in Jesus Christ have a God that knows tomorrow. And if we trust in Him, then He will lead you into tomorrow properly. He is so precious to me. But those that are disobedient. The 8th verse says, it's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. This stone that the builders disallowed. The builders chose to crucify Him. The builders chose to put Him to death. The builders choose today in building our lives, as you build our lives, as our as our schools teach our students, our children, as we teach them at home, many times we do not build them, we do not teach them that they must build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And if we neglect to teach our children, neglect to teach our grandchildren, to tell them about Jesus Christ and tell them how important it is to build upon this foundation, they will not. They tried to throw this stone, this cornerstone, this foundation stone out. And most of the populace today, most of the general public, do not want to build upon this foundation. They choose other foundations. They choose to try to please themselves. But if you look, maybe it's your own life, maybe it of someone else's life that continues to try to just live in this world. You watch them and you listen to them and you realize very quickly that they're very sad people. They're very disappointed. Excited one day and disappointed the next. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, we get up in the morning and the sun's a-shining, or we get up in the morning and the thunder clouds are coming. It doesn't matter. Because my God saved me because I believed. It's just that simple. This cornerstone supports, unites, adorns. And that's what our Lord wants to do with each one of us. No matter what the world has tried to do, He has made the head. God's in control. Being made the chief cornerstone, that should give our lives the foundation it needs, and it will. But of those that do not believe, it's a stone of stumbling. It's a rock of offense. It's a word that when you speak the word of God to the world today, it's words of confusion. It's words that doesn't build them up. It confuses them. They don't understand. Isn't it so sad that something so simple, that man cannot understand it? And many people are very educated. And it seems as though sometimes the more the education, the less they understand. They want to move it and change it and distort it. We have God's precious word. It's here in this book. It's simple and easy to understand. But only with the teacher. Only with the teacher. Men comes with books and books and more books. But if you want to learn His book, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. So you sit down with Him and you open His book and you begin with the prayer, "Lord, please teach me today what I need. I'm going to spend time with You. Show me today what I need." And He will. He'll teach this precious word to you. And you need nothing else but His will and His power. This stone of stumbling, this rock of offense, these words that confuse people. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13 and 14, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear." And the word fear there, it's standing in the presence of the Almighty. Standing in the presence. And when we stand in awe is another part of that. So let him be your fear. Let him be your fear. We've said in the past, it's a wholesome dread of displeasing him, a constant carefulness of dealing with others. You see, it's two-sided. It's what we see and hear and how we stand before our God. And then how do we turn and deal with others with the Word of God or with just life in general? How do we do it? We need to fear our God and stand before Him. And let Him be your dread. And so when we look at that in Isaiah, let Him be your dread to shake in awe. Now, we have brought our God down here so low and so close to us that He is not reverenced. We are not speechless when we stand before Him. Our time of prayer and our time of fellowship normally amounts to us giving Him our demands, and then we're on our way. And then the next day we return, and we wonder why our demands aren't met. Now, is that standing before a holy God in fear? Is that coming before Him in dread, in the greatest of awe? And He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense. Believers, if we possess this fear, you're going to find the greatest hope and the greatest help that you've ever experienced. No matter what you're going on, no matter what age you are, no matter what needs you have, you're going to find Him to be your defense, to be your deliverer. That's what you'll find in Jesus. To the lost, instead of the Word profiting them, being of gain to them, it is an offense to them. Instead of the Word leading them to Him and them being saved and then beginning to learn this always, instead of that, the very Word will drive them away. A Savior of life to those that believe. But a deliverer to death to those that won't. By being disobedient to the Word of God, by not listening to the gospel, it will be a life of stumbling and eventually falling into ruin. That's what's there. Have you ever watched someone stumble, particularly someone older, but even younger? You stumble, and you just as well fall right off the bat because you stumble for 5 feet and then fall. But most people that stumble fall. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. If the rock, if the Lord Jesus is a stumbling stone to you, if it causes you to stumble instead of rejoice, instead of growing and being stronger, if it causes you to question and it brings unbelief, it will be your ruin. So instead of being a precious stone, it is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, as this verse of Scripture here in verse 8 tells us. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the Word, being disobedient. In other words, not believing. Not believing. It's that simple. They just do not believe in the Word. Whereunto also they were appointed, the Scripture says. This stone, this rock which you stumble over will bring great pain and great suffering. As we've read in the past, Matthew 21:44, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And so you see, either way, you're broken. You can do it today by obedience. You turn to Him and let Him break you and then mold you and build you up of something that's strong and mighty. Or there will be a crushing blow. And all of your empire, all of your gain will be to naught. All of it. The Word says, saved by grace. Says, come by faith. The world says, do it by works. You can please Him. If you do this work and that work, you can please Him. So just keep going about your business. Romans 9:32 through 33. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion, stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. And then we have in the end of this 8th verse, appointed, whereunto also they were appointed. Your own unbelieving heart causes this stumbling. It all sets upon belief or unbelief. If someone doesn't like the Word of God and doesn't come before a holy God in confession of his confessing his sin and asking Jesus Christ to come into his heart, you don't believe. It's not long that that crushing blow will come. It will be to your own destruction. It's your refusal to trust in the Lord Jesus. It's the heart of God that all be saved. So it's our own doing that brings us to that place. Now those that believe, we look at the 9th verse. It's a wonderful verse. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, the Jews had a problem. They were used to the building. They were used to the offerings. They were used to the priests. All that is gone. Now they are the temple of God. Now we bring offerings and sacrifices unto our God, but not in a form of an animal, because Jesus has finished the work upon the cross. These Jews, they knew that they had a position. And that position was, they are God's chosen people. These people knew that they had been promised and that He made a covenant with them. He made a promise with them. And you can ask a Jew that does not know Jesus as their Savior, and they'll say, I am the child of Abraham. I'm the son of Abraham. They hold on to that promise and that covenant. But they've missed the Savior. They've missed the promise. They've missed the Savior that's come. These folks here, many of the Jews, were saved. They trusted in the Lord, but they continued to kind of go back to their old ways, as we do. We get saved, but we go back to our old ways. The Jews did that. Many got saved. But then they wanted to go back and offer sacrifices. They wanted the priest to come and minister to them. They wanted these things. They wanted the temple. They wanted those things. Again, sounds a little like us. We have two verses of Scripture, two different sections here, one in Deuteronomy and one in Exodus. We're going to look those up, and then we'll end today. But I want you to see, hold your hand here at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, go back to Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 7. Beginning with the 6th verse. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. This is the nation of Israel as God is picking them out. Isn't this a wonderful statement? Again, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. Because the Lord loved you. It goes on to say that I have made an oath, and I will keep it. I've delivered you from the hand of Pharaoh, and I will make you this chosen people. Now, with your hand there, go back to Exodus chapter 19. It says, it called a special people. I'm going to make you a special people there. Now, Exodus chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading with the fifth verse. Now listen carefully to these words. These are words that God gave Moses to give to the people. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. In verse 6. For ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words with that which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. A couple things I want you to see here. Verse 5, now therefore, if ye obey my voice. And then the next word I want you to underline, then ye shall be a peculiar people. They had a requirement. If ye obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar people. Now let's come back now to this ninth verse of 1 Peter. These people, these Jews, had forgotten that they were to be a holy people. They had forgotten that they were to be a special people. They were disobedient. They became stiff-hearted, rebellious, and a stiff-necked people. That's what the nation of Israel become. And that's the reason that the Lord Jesus set them aside and called the Gentiles. Look at the opportunities that the nation of Israel possessed. Look at those wonderful promises. So for now, the nation of Israel has been set aside. Individual Jews can be saved just like you and I can be saved, coming by faith, but not as a nation as they were called out before. Therefore, as we look at this ninth verse, to be in Christ today is to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And the Israelites, the Jews, were a left out people. And the Gentiles were called. To the Jews, Peter points out that you're losing nothing. To be a chosen generation, remember that God did not choose Israel for their power or for their strength or for their number. Not because they were some great people, because he loved them. And we read that from Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 8. God did not choose us because we were a special people of some special talent. He did not choose us because we had an overabundance of wealth, Romans 5:8, God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. It begins with him. All true Christians are of one family, chosen of God in Christ and sanctified in his Spirit, with his Spirit. The second thing listed here, a chosen generation, next is a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. All true servants of Christ are a royal priesthood, separated from sin and sinners, now offering to God spiritual services acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's what we're to be doing. The holy nation. We don't realize in somewhat a God-forsaken land that we live in today, as the people have turned their faces and their hearts away from God, all Christians are led by the same King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, our Savior Jesus Christ. A holy nation, it speaks of, governed by the laws and the customs that he has set forth before in his word for us, a nation devoted to God, a nation renewed and sanctified by his Holy Spirit. What a wonderful kingdom we live in. And now to look at the peculiar people, and again, we'll end with that. A peculiar people. We are called a peculiar nation. We're called back in the scripture verses in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. We're talked about a special people. But this peculiar people, why are they called a peculiar people? And that peculiar people was given only, the statement only, you would be a peculiar people, if ye will obey, then ye shall. That's how you become a peculiar people. Why would the Word of God call us a special people or a peculiar people? Naturally, we are in a state of darkness. That's all we are. Total darkness. And now, by the saving power of Jesus Christ, we have been given the light. By having the light in a dark world, that has got to make you different. Different. Peculiar. In Jesus, we have come out of the darkness into his glorious light. We have left a world and a life of disappointment and have made it into a life of joy and peace and contentment. That's what comes in Jesus. So you see, to the world we are a peculiar people. In this life, in this light, we sure do not fit in this dark world. We're different. To the world, we're peculiar. To God, we're special. We're special. What did he say as he spoke back here in Exodus? He said, then ye shall be a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a people above all people. What a position that we have. Now, this promise was given to the Jews, but it has not changed when it was granted to the Gentiles. We are not, will not possess land that he has given us as he has the Jews. We were not promised wealth. We were not promised health. All these were things to God's people, the Israelites, given. If and then. They didn't. They didn't do it. They didn't receive. We need to look at our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for power, for strength. We need to listen. We need to spend time with Him, knowing His will. Because He is so precious. So precious. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank You for Your word. I praise You for the day that You've given us. I just ask, dear Lord, that You'll touch every heart here. Please, those that are here that do not know You as their Savior, that they'll come, that they'll realize that they're missing out, that no matter what they try, it will fail. It'll ultimately fail. It can be a great success, we think, for many years, but it will fail. It will all disappear. It'll go away. And if we don't trust You as our Savior, the eternal home is a lake of fire for those that choose not to believe. So not only will they miss a life now, but they'll also spend eternity totally and completely separated from You in a place of pain and suffering instead of a place of comfort and perfection and joy and a place where only the light will be You, Lord Jesus. What a day that'll be. What a glorious day. You're so special to me. And I hope that all here will say the same. But dear Father, if they're not saved, they can't say that. So please, bring the lost today. And please, take the saved and move them closer so they know and understand and appreciate, dear Father, what You've done for them. Eyes away from the world and on to You, Lord Jesus, heavenward. Please speak to hearts now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.